Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Vallejo's 2008 municipal bankruptcy was California's largest in more than a decade, second only to Orange County's in 1994. Well, this week, Vallejo is expected to submit a plan to a federal judge to get out of Chapter 9. As the Wall Street Journal notes today, the city has renegotiated with its biggest unions, whose salary and benefits made up the bulk of Vallejo's budget, and now it's looking for the judge's go-ahead to defer debt repayments while establishing a cash reserve. A federal judge has determined her court is the proper venue to hear Temecula's lawsuit against the Pechanga Band of Luiseno Indians. The Riverside Press Enterprise reports the decision is an early victory for the city in its bid to make the tribe pay for the effect Pechanga Resort and Casino has on roads and other city services. Temecula maintains California's compact with the tribe made federal court the proper forum for the lawsuit. No comment yet from tribal officials. The U.S. Supreme Court is expected to hear arguments tomorrow in a California case over drug prices, at issue whether pharmaceutical firms are overcharging hospitals and clinics that serve low-income patients. Sarah Varney explains.
Under federal law, drug companies have to give deep discounts to public hospitals and clinics that serve the poor and uninsured. Those rates are set by federal health officials. Santa Clara County, home to the state's third largest city, San Jose, is suing AstraZeneca and a number of other drug makers, alleging they've been overcharged for prescription drugs. Indeed, a U.S. Health and Human Services report found drug companies often overcharged clinics and hospitals around the country, but were rarely penalized. The issue before the high court tomorrow is not whether the discounts were offered, but whether counties like Santa Clara can sue to enforce the lower rates, or if only federal authorities can do that. The federal appeals court in San Francisco said Santa Clara County could proceed, but lawyers for the drug makers say the lawsuits should be dismissed. For the California Report, I'm Sarah Varney.
In recent years, California's teenage pregnancy rate has fallen to an all-time low, except in the case of girls who grow up in foster care. Elaine Corey reports.
The numbers are startling. About one half of girls in foster care become pregnant at least once before they age out of the system at 19. National studies show that foster youth begin having sex at an earlier age, and they're also less likely to use birth control than other teens.
This pregnancy book shows you what's going on in your body.
At home with her foster mom in Oakland, a pregnant teenager we'll call Bella sits on her bed, studying pictures of a developing fetus.
Right now, I'd be 18 weeks exactly, so this would be how the baby looks like. It looks more and more like a little human.
Bella is a tiny girl, barely 5 feet tall, whose pregnancy hardly shows. She was placed in foster care at the age of 12 because of neglect and abuse at home. But Bella did not like living with strangers. She ran away and lived on the streets or with boyfriends. Eventually, she returned to foster care and became pregnant when she was 16. So far, the pregnancy has been tough on her young body.
The first trimester for me was kind of horrible. I had morning sickness really bad. I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't keep any food down. I couldn't keep going to school, so I had to stop going, and it was just horrible.
Bella says she's determined to become a better parent than her own mother, whose children were all removed due to abuse or neglect. She's taking good care of herself, going to prenatal checkups, taking vitamins, and watching her diet. No more fast food or soda. Bella says she's prepared to make sacrifices in order to keep her child.
I got myself into this position, and I'm not just going to give the baby away or abort it just because I made a mistake. I'm going to take responsibility for what I did.
Like all pregnant foster youth, Bella faces daunting odds. She dropped out of high school and has no job. The baby's father is also unemployed. He's 23 and has been in jail once for carjacking. Neither parent believes in marriage, although Bella says her boyfriend will help her raise their child. In the kitchen, Bella's foster mother, Deborah Williams, is preparing dinner. Williams has taken in several pregnant teenagers. She says Bella is better prepared than most to cope with the demands of young motherhood.
She's a go-getter, and she's striving. When I first met her, she told me she's not going to be doing all the little stuff that she did, the drugs and running. She's been doing good. She's been really trying. So I got faith in her. I know she's going to be okay.
Bella's social worker, Lana Smith, is hoping for the best. She says Medi-Cal will pay for Bella's health care needs, and the foster care agency will provide some of the essentials, such as a crib and stroller. Smith says Bella's future is uncertain, especially since many foster families don't accept infants.
If we don't know where she's living, we don't know where she's going to go to school, and then we have to explore what is available in that community in terms of child care, and so there's a lot up in the air.
Growing up in foster care is a big enough hurdle to overcome, and child advocates say having a baby just adds to the challenges these girls face. Although California has programs to help foster youth who are parents, less has been done to help them avoid getting pregnant. The federal government has given the state a $14 million grant to help change that. Foster youth will be a special focus of pregnancy prevention programs, including better sex education, peer counseling, and help in decision making. Experts say that given their troubled histories, these girls may choose motherhood before they're ready.
I think it's to fill a void.
Chantal Johnson is a former foster youth turned policy advocate for California Youth Connection in Sacramento.
Without knowing what it really means to have a family, our girls are looking to find something that, you know, belongs to them that they could define as their family.
As for Bella, she says she never had a family or a childhood. She says she became pregnant because her birth control didn't work, but she understands why other girls in foster care might choose to have babies.
They have something to love, I guess, just because in the system you're just another number. You get moved every year, every couple months. They want someone to love and that someone's always going to be there.
Better sex education is just one part of the solution for girls in foster care. The bigger challenge may be to convince them that delaying parenthood until they're better prepared is the best way to have a family that stays together. For the California Report, I'm Elaine Corey.
That's the California Report for Tuesday, January 18th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. The California Endowment, building healthy communities because that's where health happens. More information at calendow.org. And Chevron, investing in renewables, strengthening communities, and creating jobs. More information available at chevron.com.